right, and welcome to another episode of Autodesk Digital Builder. I am your host, Eric Thomas, and we are live from Autodesk University with Allison Scott and Brandon LeCoursier. Thank you so much for joining me today. And we're just coming out of the keynote session, so I know everybody here is fired up, but I've got some questions for both of you because you sit in Autodesk's construction customer support team. And I was hoping you could tell Brandon a little bit more about what customer success actually brings to our customers and just what you bring to the table as we're bringing everybody through the digital transformation.
Yeah, I think it's important to sort of start by recognizing that we bring what our customers need, right? So the intentional efforts that we put towards our customers' business are largely guided by their vision, where they want to see their business evolve. And our focus and our responsibility is largely around enabling them through the tools and resources available within our organization to empower that. And realistically, it's not to do a whole lot more than that, right? We need to focus entirely on customers' success and their desired outcomes. All the rest of it, that's for others to worry and focus in on.
Yeah, and there's so much that comes from those conversations, and your team has always been a resource for me when I'm trying to learn a little bit more about what the customers are looking for, what they're needing, and it helps impact, you know, some of the conversations that I get to have with them when I've had both of you on the show or people you've suggested we speak to. But Allie, I want to step back and think about those that might not be as digitized as our biggest customers that are bringing in all these construction technology. Where do you think those big gains are coming from when constructions who haven't fully digitized their workflows start bringing those to the table?
There's a couple of things that come to mind. First of all, is at a very baseline, is creating more operational efficiency. And we talk a lot about operational efficiency in construction, whether you're a small family-run contractor or you're a large construction manager, you know, trying to do a lot of big projects with multiple languages or multiple contract methods. And when you can save small moments, those small moments add up, and that makes a big difference for a lot of our customers. But outside of just the technology alone, you know, when we think about customer success and the role that we play with adopting that technology, it's really a place where Autodesk steps up, and it's a huge differentiator for our customers because we recognize that they're using our tools, they're using other tools, they're using in-house tools that they've created, and they need help. And they cannot, you know, it's not something easy to do alone, and it's our responsibility as a technology provider to help pave that path and be that GPS and demonstrate what the map to success looks like. So, you know, operational efficiency is the baseline, but then from there becomes so much more. There's places where we see customers advancing in their safety workflows. We talk about construction as an industry that's trying to advance. You know, safety is still a huge issue for so many of our customers. Brandon and I both came from the industry. It's something we have a lot of personal stories about. And we want our friends and our family to go home safe at night. So when we can infuse technology to make lives better and to make people go home safe, that means something. And I think that's where the place is that technology can really help.
And as we kind of look to that and how it evolves, we're finally at a moment now where there is so much purpose-built technology that supports construction specifically, where we hadn't had that in the past. And I was speaking with Jim Lynch earlier today, actually, on this specific topic. If I look back retrospectively and think through where I'm sitting in the construction ecosystem and what I used to do in the past, it was a nightmare, it was chaos. You're chasing documents, everything's being emailed back and forth, version control was a nightmare. Yep. And this isn't even stepping on site or thinking about the safety element that you were alluding to. So we're at a really fun inflection point, things are a lot better. Brandon, I do have a question for you. So let's think about those who have digitized to a certain degree. Like maybe they've picked up a couple tools, they haven't embraced a full platform approach. What advice would you have for them, or what gains might they bring if they really fully plan to digitize their entire construction ecosystem?
You know, I think it all starts with truly understanding the problems you're trying to solve for. So it's really easy to be, you know, sort of captured by strong marketing collateral and shiny objects and capabilities of product. But if at the end of the day, you don't have a sound process in the way that your teams operate and work, in most cases, technology can make a bad problem even worse.
Truth.
So I think when, you know, we see truly successful accounts move to that second phase of optimization. We've digitized, we've adopted it for document control, basic workflows. Before we ever talk about that next opportunity to optimize, it's what problem are we solving for, right? What are the key challenges that we want to differentiate? And the thing I think most customers that have been truly successful in that way, they have pivoted that focus towards data, right? How do we take the efforts and behaviors that are happening on a job site, map those behaviors to positive and or negative outcomes, and then identify those root causes that got us there? And the idea of thinking about optimization from that data-centric point is that not only is there obviously an accountability metric that goes along with that, but I think more importantly, understanding the data that's needed to be captured to drive that positive outcome, I think it really helps you understand where you should invest in that next phase of optimization, right? If I know what I want that end state of data to look like, it makes it easier for me to say, maybe I need to go into 3D asset control. Maybe I need to move into a cost management system. Maybe I need to optimize my ERP solutions. But if you don't have that data-centric approach at first, it's really hard to sort of, you know, nail what that next step is.
And it's so interesting when we look at that too, and it says a lot about the customer success team and the experience they bring to the table, because with people that are industry experts like yourself and other people in your organization, you know what questions to be asking, and when customers share that insight with you, you understand what they mean too. And so it makes those conversations much more meaningful. And the data piece, Ali, you know me as far as the construction data nerd. I spent a lot of time researching this. It's such an interesting moment now because we have customers and non-customers asking questions about data in a way that they never did before, and now we're gaining access to data in a way that just wasn't possible or even something that we even envisioned 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. And all of these systems are now converging into platforms and enabling technology to integrate in a way that we just weren't able to do. And so it's exciting. I'm a giant nerd, I admit it, but it's a fun moment to be in construction.
I mean, well, one thing about that too is that construction is an industry that is fundamentally about reducing risk and managing risk. And so much of our industry is also based on institutional knowledge and having a fundamental experience of growing out on a job site. And I think the power of things like data and connected construction technologies is that it's helping to uncover these places where unknowns are no longer an issue. I mean, that's not to say that there aren't unknowns. There's plenty of unknowns still.
Yeah, construction's rife with risk and surprises.
Absolutely, that's going to take a long time to completely eradicate. But I think what we're beginning to see is that those spaces are becoming more palpable and more real in terms of using data to find problems before they start.
And you kind of lead into my next question, which I wanted to pose to you, tied to some of the skills gaps that we're seeing in construction. How does technology help fill that space? Because we're all very familiar with the fact that construction is challenged with labor issues. We have material and supply shortages. Right now, I'm probably boring everybody because everybody talks about it so much, but it's so important, and I think technology plays a role, and I'm interested in hearing a little bit more about your thoughts there.
Everybody's talking about it because everybody's dealing with it.
It's a scary situation,
it absolutely is. In fact, I think Brandon and I and the entire customer success team, even up to Jim's leadership team, we talk to customers about this every single day. It's something that is very personal. It's something that's harrowing to a certain degree. And a lot of our customers are handling it in a lot of different ways. You know, we see a really rich, intentional programs coming out to market where construction companies are making relationships with not just high schools or colleges, but middle schools, elementary schools, trade unions, their local craft houses. It's coming and it's going fast. And there's more and more investment coming in from private and public institutions that are saying, hey, we need to be not just trying to attract a workforce, but train our workforce. And a big part of that is digital skills. And that's either trying to attract digital natives to our industry, those young folks that have come up with a cell phone in their hand or have come up gaming. All of us are kind of at that table to a certain degree, but also creating a digital skill set for upskilling, you know, creating digital nomads. For those folks that might be newer to technology and understanding its power or its value, and partnering those folks together to create new ways of working. Technology can be an absolute baseline in helping to this. In fact, we're seeing it with our Autodesk Construction Cloud Learning Center. It's a program and an initiative that Autodesk has invested in for a little while. We revamped it at the beginning of last year, and it has just skyrocketed with folks that are now learning the tools and jumping into Autodesk Construction Cloud Learning Center and getting their certificates of completion. So, I mean, I think in the last less than 18 months, we had over 55,000 course enrollments, something like 15,000 certificates completed. I mean, that's a lot of badges of expertise being added to LinkedIn profiles, and it's so exciting to see people really embracing it.
And it says a lot about the way people are consuming technology, and I think how you engage with people now. a construction company that doesn't embrace digital workflows and implement tools like this today is going to struggle to attract younger talent.
100%.
And in 10 years or 15 years' time, that's even going to increase. But also, it's kind of a differentiator, too, where you can come in and say, look at this technology I'm using. Look at these drones that we're deploying. Look at laser scanning. There's a perception issue that we're kind of coming against sometimes when we're trying to to bring new talent into construction, and technology is the way to kind of fill that gap.
It really can be. I mean, I think that there's a balance, reflecting on what Brandon said earlier. You don't want to have technology just for technology's sake, because it can create silos and issues of its own. But a lot of our customers are talking about, how do we make construction more than muddy boots? I mean, muddy boots are awesome. I wore muddy boots a lot, but I also got to help teams like really reflect on how do we do things differently and get better outcomes for our teams and for our clients.
And I think a few things that kind of stood out and resonated as Ali was kind of going through that. I mean, when we look at the challenges of the job site and what attracts or doesn't attract talent, yeah, I think one thing that we oftentimes overlook is the strain of capacity on our existing customers, right? These are folks that are obviously dealing with these labor shortages and supply, all these things that we've been talking about. But I think we forget sometimes that there are people that are also, you know, really struggling, working 80 plus hours a week, dealing with complexities in their own days and lives. It's those sort of challenges, that capacity, that causes an accidental safety incident on a job site. And, you know, I think sometimes I'm quick to say we need to do certain things to recruit a new market or attract a new user base to become part of the construction industry. But I think at the same time, we really need to heavily invest in the existing market we have in our existing user base and our existing customers, because realistically, if they're not happy, if they're not safe, if they're not feeling like this is a place I want to bring people into, we're going to have a much larger recruiting challenge than the absence of external programs that we work with universities.
You make a really good point. And honestly, I'm an example of that, because I left the construction industry as far as working for GCs because I couldn't deal with the amount of stress that I was under. Like, I was a proposal manager. I was managing bids worth $200-500 million, multiple at the same time. At that moment, the tools were not purpose-built for that part of the industry. And I got to a point where it's like, I can do this, but I don't want to anymore.
It's tough.
Yeah, and I'm very, very fortunate and excited to support the customers in the industry from the seat that I'm in now. But I can see why people bounce all the time. So I appreciate that point, because it does bring the other element. It's not just bringing more, but how do we help? How do we power? How do we set everybody up to be successful and happy and work a normal amount of time instead of, as you alluded to, 80? Because that's just unsustainable. That's not fair.
I mean, that's the retention part of attracting and of retaining, right? And there's a big element around the culture of our industry too. And I think that it's changing rapidly, which is super exciting to see. I think the new workforce that's coming into our industry is helping to speed the pace of that culture evolution. Technology is absolutely supporting it as well. And I think being more aware of how we support each other and how we create people-first industries is really starting to take hold.
Yeah, the tone has changed a lot in the last few years.
Absolutely.
And I'm super thankful for it. And of course, we are at Autodesk University right now. We are surrounded by people, which is a very different experience from recording this from my own studio, but also awesome. Brandon, can you tell me, like, what are you hyped about with the community this year? I mean, we are in person. There are dozens, at least 10, probably 1,000 people standing and kind of looking at us right now. How do you feel about that?
I mean, it feels amazing, right? Like, this is my Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
This, you know, coming up in this industry and getting that magical pass to AU, it was something I definitely took for granted 3 years ago. And getting that opportunity to see folks and see people interacting with, you know, product managers, working in the booths. And I think even coming up with innovative ideas, we've had some, you know, really incredible customer briefings this last week. And I think one of the things that I'm hearing is, when we've always talked about data, there's been this moment of time where I think data meant pretty dashboards. And in briefings today, what we hear is customers talking about the need for behavioral mapping. And when I talk about behavioral mapping, what I mean is, what was the intended outcome of a decision made? But more importantly than that, like, how do we provide a more informed experience? And yesterday, hearing about concepts around convergence, most notably, you know, what if we could align supply chains directly with building product manufacturers so that, you know, as you're designing, as you're developing out your structure, you're getting real-time feedback about stock and inventory of materiality, and how much that could be a time saver in value engineering. And to take that a step further, if you think about the concept of value engineering, instead of it being this constant effort where you have to go play detective every time you want to make a substitution? What if the software was making these intuitive recommendations? And to hear customers pivot away from, I want your beautiful graphics to illustrate the performance of my business, and now to hear them say, I want to see what else this can do. I want to take that next step. I want to automate away the things that suck about my people's day. It is fun. Like, that is an exciting thing to hear come out of our, you know, customers' briefing and discussions.
Well, and it's great because now people are more focused. They're saying, what outcome do I want? What do I want to do with this data? And the first part of those conversations is always convincing people that the data can be, one, accurate and useful to make decisions on.
Sure.
But two, just thinking holistically about, like, what choices are you trying to make with data that you haven't either felt confident that you could do before or even thought was possible? And so all those conversations that you have, they are making their way back into the product. It really does say a lot about the feedback loop with customer success, our product team, and the customers that are coming in and either are excited or potentially not so excited about the way something's going as it supports their element of business. So it's just really cool to see that. So I have one question I want to hear from both of you. I know we've touched on it a little bit. So what is the thing you're most excited about today or in the next couple of days being here at Autodesk University outside of being in person? Allie, could you kick us off on that one?
There's so many things. I think, well, one, the expo has always been one of my favorite experiences at AU, just because there's so many different things to explore. And not just from a AEC industry perspective, but also from a cross-industry perspective. And for those that are here on the floor, you know, I just could not recommend enough to go walk around, explore the booths, go to other parts of the industry, go to the other industries that you're not maybe attached to or don't know much about, and go check it out, because you never know where a spark of innovation is going to come from or inspiration. And I think that that's always been something I really, really loved. So I'm really excited to have a chance to start to just explore and talk to some people. And I know inevitably I'm going to run into somebody I know, which is also another best part of coming back in person. Yeah,
it's hard to walk across the expo at this point. Absolutely. If you've got, like, I need 10 minutes, you probably need 15, because you're going to run into some people.
Yeah, that's a good piece of advice for our listeners who might be attending AU. Add more time for yourselves.
Yeah, you're going to have some fun conversations. And I mean, we are in the thick of the expo hall, and I can attest, not everybody can see what I'm looking at right now, but there are booths everywhere, and that convergence of industries is just so cool, because if you go to another construction conference, that's probably all you're going to get. You're not going to get to see what your manufacturing friends are doing. You're not going to get to see what the media and entertainment are doing. And so all of that is encompassed under this AU umbrella, and it's worth checking out. So don't stay in your bubble. Like, check out and, you know, get outside of your comfort zone. So Brandon, how about you? What are you most excited about this week?
You know, 3 years ago, it was last AU, I got to see this person walk out on main stage and just deliver the most passionate, incredible, just thoughtful main stage presentation about the future of construction. And on Wednesday, I get to see her do it again.
She's sitting right next to us for those listening.
I am pumped, because if you've never seen Allie on stage, not only is it awesome just to see someone that's that passionate and excited, but I think most importantly, she is going to talk about how she's infused that passion with the creativity of our customers to do some truly incredible things, both with our LearnACC platform, with the Big Room, and I think most importantly, with just tactical in the weeds execution that we've seen in the field. So I am most excited to see Allie kill it on stage tomorrow.
Right there with you on that one. If you're attending, even if you're not in construction, you can hear me talking right now, make sure you come to the construction session tomorrow. There is a ton of great stuff that's going to be coming out. Otherwise, if you're attending digitally, please make sure you reach out. Let me know your experience in the expo, listening to Digital Builder as we update you throughout the week on what's going on. With that said, thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Sincerely appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And with that, we'll wrap up this conversation today. And if you're listening, we are the Digital Builder Podcast. You can find us on any big construction platform out there, Apple, Spotify, and just check out our construction stuff. And thank you for listening.
Thanks for having us, Eric.
Thanks, man. See ya.